Well, Ray, let's first off, I know everybody in Houston and the Liverpool supporters group in Houston here absolutely had a wonderful time on your recent visit. I hope Houston treated you well.
They treated me very well. I had a wonderful time, and obviously I went to the supporters club and did a question and answer with them, and they were lovely people and made me feel very, very welcome, and hopefully I made them feel part of the Liverpool Football Club family.
I think you did a very good job of that based on everything I've seen on social media. I want to take you maybe into kind of the mainstream sports fan down here a little bit, and just kind of in your words, what is it like to play for a club with this type of history, with this passion, with this pressure? What is it like?
Well, obviously, it's great, in short, but having said that, it obviously has extra pressures because, you know, Liverpool Football Club, since Bill Shankly took over in the 60s, has been a very successful club. The 70s, 80s, and early 90s, they were winning things every single year. So with that brings a pressure that when you start at the beginning of every season, you are expected to win things. And of course, recently, Liverpool have not won too much. So it's a whole different world to play as a player in the middle of that Premiership division, where you need to win maybe, you know, 10 or 12 games a season to stay in the division, as against being a member of one of the top sides where you have to win every week.
Ray Clements joining us here on ESPN 97.5. Numerous titles at Liverpool, a couple of European Cups, and ahead of this weekend with Liverpool back in the European Cup final, now called the Champions League, against Real Madrid. What are you feeling out of Liverpool right now? Is this the moment? We see everybody reaching back to 81 when you won it on the Alan Kennedy goal.
Real Madrid as well, yep. So there's a contact straight away.
Yeah.
But, no, I think I've seen a lot of Liverpool towards the end of the season, and they really are an exciting team to watch now. Their front three players are so quick, they're so mobile, and they're full of trickery as well. And I think they'll give Real Madrid's back four some problems. But of course, Real Madrid have Ronaldo as well, so he could cause us some problems. So I think what we're going to have is we're going to have a fantastic Champions League Cup final, because both sides' strengths are attacking. And I think the two of them will just go at each other and see which one blinks first.
Ray, you've won multiple European Cups. I mean, I looked at a picture of you today when the cup was being lifted by Phil Thompson, and I'm looking at this picture, and I'm looking at you, and I'm going, okay, I'm interviewing Ray Clements tonight, this legendary guy, and I'm thinking about that moment. Can you right now indelibly remember those moments when that cup went up and you're in those stadiums?
Oh, yeah. Big games like that, you remember everything about it. You know, you remember the goals that were scored. You remember the build-up to the game. You remember the festivities after the game. And, of course, the special moment is walking up there. And on most occasions, I was the second one up, so I was right next to the captain as he lifted the trophy. And to hear, you know, the adulation of the fans, what it meant to them. You know, Liverpool Football Club is a special football club. And in fact, as Jurgen Klopp said, it's not a football club, it's a family. And that's the way I think it is. You know, in Liverpool, there are only two things they live for. And football is the main one. There are two clubs there, Everton and Liverpool, and both those set of supporters just live and breathe football 7 days a week, basically. And they will do anything to support their football club. You know, there's talk of, I think, 16,000 tickets being given out at exorbitant prices in Kiev for this cup final. But I will bet you there will be more than 16,000 Liverpool fans there, because I've seen it before. My very first European Cup final, we were expecting 11,000 fans to turn up in Rome in the Olympic Stadium. And we got there and there wasn't 11,000 there, there was 26,000 there. And they sacrificed everything to be there at Liverpool's first European Cup final. And they'll do it again now, because obviously 95 was the last time they'd won it. And they'll be desperate to be there to see a team which they believe, and I believe, can win it again.
Former England international Ray Clements, Liverpool, Tottenham Hotspur, Scunthorpe United. joining us on ESPN 97.5. The day in this game, you know, it's a rarity that a player even gets to this game. Mm-hmm. What is different on this day alongside the pressure?
Well, it's the culmination of a year's hard work. You know, you don't get given the chance to play in a European Cup final or a Champions League, as you rightly say it's now called. You have to play some very good teams to get to that position. And all you're thinking about on the day of the game is not to let anybody down, to give everything that you possibly can to give the club and the fans a fantastic night, because you don't want to work all year, go into a final, and then come out of it with nothing.
Ray, when you made the transition into coaching, which you've done very successfully on a variety of fronts, which I'm going to let people know about here in a minute, how difficult was it getting away from the playing side of the game? Can anything ever replace that?
No, nothing can ever replace that. The adrenaline rush of running over the white line onto the pitch and performing in front of 50, 60, 100,000 people, you can never get that back. But at least being a coach, you're on the periphery of it. And when you're winning, it's a great job to have. Obviously, when you're losing, then there's an extra pressure that goes with it. And, of course, the frustration of it as well is that you can work all week with the team talking about do this, do this, don't do that. And then after 15 minutes into the game, you think, have they been listening to me all week or not?
Yeah.
Because they're not doing anything we talked about all week. And obviously you can't do anything about it then. You've got to wait till half time before you can then try and readdress things. So it can be very frustrating as a coach, as against when you're a player, at least you're in the action and you can affect the game.
Now, you've been recruited and brought in by Glenn Hoddle when he was with England. You've worked with a variety of managers, Kevin Keegan, Sven-Göran Eriksson, on and on we go here. It's pretty remarkable. Was there any specific manager that you got on best with, or maybe which one of these roles or assignments did you enjoy most?
Well, the first manager that took me was Glenn Hoddle, and of course I'd played with him at Tottenham Hotspur, so I knew him very, very well, and he was a great, great football player. So when I went in with him, it was a lot easier because I knew about what he wanted from his teams, what he expected from his team, so it was easier to relate it to the players. Probably the most difficult one was Fabio Capello, because he didn't speak great English, and therefore sometimes it was difficult to put over what he wanted, because he, in terms of giving us what he wanted, sometimes didn't come out the way he wanted it to.
Yeah, communication problems.
Yeah.
For you, you know, I everything I see, you have commanded so much respect from people. I mean, whether it's Spurs fans, whether it's the Liverpool faithful, England fans, is it sometimes overwhelming to just look at how much, I mean, love and endearment you get from people?
Yeah, it is. You know, it is amazing, really, because, you know, somebody just said to me in 1965 when I went into the professional game at Scunthorpe United that I would play or be a coach for the next 47 years without a break. I would say that doesn't happen in football. So I've been very fortunate to play or coach for those 47 years. 23 years I played, and the rest of the time I was a coach. And it's still fantastic for me that, you know, I come across here to America and people still remember me. You know, when I left Liverpool in 1981, and yet to this day they still remember me, and I go back to Liverpool itself and it's like I've never left the place. You know, I've lived in London for 37 years now, and yet I go back to Liverpool and it's like I was there yesterday. That's what Liverpool Football Club's about.
Now, what fills that void now?
Sorry?
What fills the coaching void now?
Golf.
There. Are you a good golfer, Ray?
I love my golf, yes. Not exactly great at it, but I do love my golf. And my son-in-law's Brian Davis, who plays on the PGA tour, so it's nice to have that connection as well. He's played across here now for 13 years. But I just love my golf now. I still, I still do hospitality work at Liverpool and at Tottenham at weekends and midweek, so I still have an involvement in football, but without the pressure of it. And the rest of the time, I play in some lovely golf tournaments on some lovely golf courses, and generally enjoy the life which I've always wanted to do when I retired.
Liverpool, England legend Ray Clements joining us here. All right, Ray, you ready to get into this game a little bit? I got a couple of questions for you because I really want to pick your brain on this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start off first with just some general thoughts from you on this Real Madrid-Liverpool game, because we're hearing everybody weighing in.
Yeah, I mean, Real Madrid will be favourites because, you know, they've won it the last 2 years. They've got a vastly experienced side. But I think they're probably a side that is probably past their best now. Whereas Liverpool are a side that have got better and better each year, are full of confidence at the moment. This last, I said, the last 2 months of the season has been an absolute pleasure to watch them play. And I genuinely think that they believe, as I said before, and I believe, that they can win this game.
The front three, obviously, as entertaining as they come, the mobility, the movement, the clinical finishing, it's all there. And this is a game where two teams are going to really try to impose their attacks on each other. Where does this opportunity come?
I don't think the teams can play any other way.
Yeah.
I don't think either team could sit back and defend and hope to hit the other team on the counterattack. I think they're both teams that their strengths are to attack. And I think I will be amazed if it's not a real attacking game to watch and an exciting game to watch with lots of chances, lots of shots on target. And it's who's going to outshoot who, basically.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here thinking, all right, Marcelo goes forward. Liverpool wins it in midfield. They hit space out wide to Mo Salah. And guess who's got to come out of the middle and try to contend with him wide? Sergio Ramos.
Yes. Well, he's obviously got a reputation that he is a great defender, but he's also quite erratic at times with his defending and has a lot of bookings in his career. And, you know, if one of the quick men gets against him one against one early in the game and he commits one of his fouls and gets a yellow card, then that will definitely affect him for the rest of the game because he knows one more bad tackle and he's off the field, and that would be a massive blow to Real Madrid.
Now let's talk about this wonderful 19-year-old, Trent Alexander-Arnold. He's going to the World Cup with England. I mean, this is unbelievable what's happening to this young man. Obviously, there's a lot of talk about him being targeted in this game. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm sure that Ronaldo will hang around him and try and get at him. But then he played against Sane at Man City, who's had an unbelievable year for Man City, and he never got a kick. Trent dealt with him absolutely superbly. And he seems to be a player that is not fazed by anything, which is brilliant for a 19-year-old. And, you know, this is his dream. You know, I've seen quotes in England about him. You know, he comes from Norwich Green, I think it is, in Liverpool. And he's saying things like, you know, boys from Norwich Green don't get this opportunity.
Wow.
And yet I'm going to be, A, in a Champions League final, and B, I'm going to the World Cup. And it just doesn't happen to boys in this area. So, you know, I haven't personally met him, but everybody tells me what a lovely boy he is and how dedicated he is and how much he's a Liverpool fan through and through and how much he wants to be part of a successful Liverpool football club.
Depth and influence of the bench and substitutes in this game could play a big part in it. Obviously, I get the sense that Real Madrid's got the deeper bench.
Yes, no, definitely. I mean, I think anybody associated with Liverpool this year has said our best 11 on the field is a match for anybody. If we get down to numbers 14, 15 and 16, then we start to be weakened. So definitely we are a team that, as I say, with our best 11, we have every chance of winning this. But there will be a situation because the way we play the game, and we're very, very fast, very aggressive, and it's very difficult to keep that pace up for 90 minutes. So there will be a time towards the end of the game when two or three of the substitutes will have to come on and help us get to the end of the game, I think.
He's Ray Clements joining us. One or two more questions with Ray, then we're going to let him go. All right, as the former great goalkeeper you are, I got to take you into goalkeepers for both teams. Mm-hmm. Keylor Navas, did he win that semifinal against Bayern Munich?
He certainly did, but then he made a mistake in the very first game, which could have cost them.
Mm-hmm.
But then he made some fantastic saves afterwards. So he's a great shot stopper, as we would say. I think there's other technical sides of goalkeeping he's maybe not the best at. And I think this Liverpool attack can maybe expose that. And obviously at the other end of the field, we've got Karius, the German mm-hmm. goalkeeper, who came to the club, got injured, allowed Mignolet to play for the first 3 months of the season. And it's only really since early in the new year that he's been given the number one spot. And I think he's been given that to show to Jurgen Klopp that he can be Liverpool's number one for many years to come. So this is going to be a massive test for him, because he's definitely improved as the season has gone on, but there are still one or two mistakes there that he can't make in a Champions League final, otherwise we will lose it. So I hope that he doesn't make any. I hope that he plays superbly, he keeps a clean sheet, and then we win it.
So when I look at these two goalkeepers from the outside, and of course I'm not looking with your educated eye, but when I look at these two goalkeepers, I say neither of them to me are a big commanding presence like Ray Clements was. Is that an issue? And then do those guys sometimes defer, maybe Navas to Sergio Ramos and Karius to Van Dijk in some ways?
Yeah, I think I've seen with both of them that the centre-backs actually can not overpower them, but tell them what to do. And as a goalkeeper, you can't have that. As a goalkeeper, mm-hmm. you have to be the person, because you can see everything in front of you. So you have to be the person that makes the decisions in terms of how you want your back four to play in front of you and whether you're going to get the ball or whether you want the defence to deal with it. You can't have your centre-halves or your centre-backs telling you when you should be coming for the ball.